Halloween isn't just for kids anymore. This weekend, SB Dance, one of the resident companies at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, will present Of Meat and Marrow, a rock opera dance circus that explores the more adult side of the Halloween season. Joining me in the studio, we have Liberty Valentine, Annie Kent, Stephen Brown, founder of SB Dance, and Jeffrey Burke, to talk about Of Meat and Marrow. We'll also talk about the role of art in the downtown environment, how it helps to shape creativity and innovation in the urban center.
We have young people, we have old people, we have people from all sorts of socioeconomic backgrounds. And that's what's cool about downtown, I think, is that it's this big old melting pot of perspectives, and it's where everything gets all mixed up. And in particular, that's what happens at cultural events.
That discussion coming up after this news from the BBC. We are back. This is Jason Mathis with Downtown SLC, joined today by Liberty Valentine, Annie Kent, Stephen Brown, and Jeffrey Burke, and we are talking about the very exciting Halloween-themed, inspired dance performance that SB Dance is going to be doing. And SB, Stephen Brown, as the namesake of SB Dance, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they come to Of Meat and Marrow.
Well, I call this a rock opera dance circus.
It sounds exciting.
It's got a human cannonball in it.
Wow.
Jason.
That doesn't happen.
Seriously.
That doesn't happen all the time in Salt Lake City.
You know how hard that is to do? So we have a human cannonball. We have lots of movement dance. We have actors. We have a live rock band who are perched up there at the edge of the cage, up close and personal. So it's a great big Halloween celebration that's followed by something that we call the Afterlife After Party. It's a fairly short performance, 75 minutes, no intermission, short, intense, charged up. And I hate to see my audience leave the door all charged up. I want to hang out with them for a little bit.
Yeah, like your audience. You love your audience.
I do like my audience.
Yeah.
They're pretty good folks.
Yeah. So you're going to
hang.
So, okay, so people go, they see a human. What I've got out of it so far is a human cannonball and an afterlife party. And what else is going on in the dance? Is it multiple? Is it sort of one story all the way through? Is it broken up into different scenarios, different scenes?
Yeah, I actually call it, like I said, the opera part of it is there's really a story here. And Jane Q. Doe gets sent to the afterlife, and it's kind of what happens to her.
Was she good or bad? Where is she going in this afterlife?
That's what you got to wait
to find out.
You don't know.
All right. So we have with us two of the dancers, I believe, Liberty Valentine and Annie Kent. Liberty, maybe talk a little bit about your performance in Of Meat and Marrow and what you're looking forward to this weekend coming up.
What I'm looking forward to is to actually take over the evil part of the whole performance.
You're the villainess. The
yes.
Villain. That might not be gendered. You don't need to say S at the end just if it's a woman, like tigress.
I think it's villain.
You're the villain. Okay.
She is Lady Pollux, actually.
Like
we have these terrific trading cards, collector's cards, around town with all the characters. And so her character is Lady Pollux.
And you're the villain.
I am the villain.
You are the villain. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. And Annie, what role are you playing?
I'm playing Jane.
Oh, okay. You're the star, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one it's all about. Okay.
I'm the victim.
The victim and the villain. Joining us in studio today, the victim and the villain. What made you think of this rock opera circus event? What was the inspiration behind this?
Well, you know, I have always wanted to do a Halloween show. And in particular, I like Halloween for adults. And by adults, I mean that, you know, when we do a kid's Halloween show, it's kind of about these alien scary things that jump out of the closet. But for adults, what's really scary is the monsters that we all own that are roaming around in our heads. So it's more like – it's more sensual and psychological and, you know, it's certainly very athletic and daring and crazy too. But it's really made for an adult sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I felt like was kind of missing from the Halloween mix for me. Because it's my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, you have permission to, like, do crazy stuff.
Be whoever you want to be.
Exactly, Wonder Woman. I've seen Jason in that costume.
I am wearing my... I've got my lasso of truth with me this morning, so watch out, all of you. So, Jeffrey, what is your role in the of meat and marrow performance coming up?
My role was described to me as the ringmaster of the underworld.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were such a dancer. I'm sort of anxious to see this.
My part's a little more talky than dancey.
Okay. Talky.
Yeah, he's got moves.
He's got moves.
He does.
Excellent. Excellent.
He's already injured.
Well, that can happen. That's athletic dancing.
That happens in an SB dance show.
People get hurt.
I think that the two questions that I was asked when I told friends I was in the cast were, what are you wearing and is it dangerous?
Yeah.
They wondered what you were wearing was dangerous or if your performance would be dangerous.
I think all of the above is
all
implied.
There's a little hint, and this is true for a lot of SB dance, there's a little hint of danger in everything that you do. You don't try to play it safe. I think that's a fair statement, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, because that's the kind of – this is not really tutu, you
typical
know, Swan Lake dancing. This is – it's really a theater of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks a lot with – you know, there are actors, there are music, there's lots of music. There's a 14-foot, you know, moving metal sculpture. So it really is a little bit it's not so much of a dance. We're all dancers, or most people are dancers in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, to call it dance is not really right. It's kind of more like this weird circusy mashup thing. And
it's harder to say that though in a word.
Yeah, so it's dance.
It's dance, like, but it's said. A weird circusy mashup. But really,
yeah.
If you know in advance, you know you're going to a weird circusy mashup rock opera.
Yeah, but when we're talking about what is dangerous about it, or what is that, there is always a sense of, you know, I mean, these are bodies flying through the air on big metal things a lot of times.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it can – I mean, luckily, they're all really, really good, and we rehearse well, and we're pretty conscious of all the safety involved in it. But it's definitely daring stuff, and that's what's so fun at the Rose Wagner is that those spaces, even in this one – this is a big show. It's mm-hmm. got a rock band. It's got a human cannonball. It's got a ton of people, a lot of staging, a lot of props. And even in that 500-seat theater – it's a really intimate experience. And so it's like ringside or courtside seats at a game. And it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I think the physicality of it, you really feel it.
Before we go on any further, can you tell people how they can get tickets to this if they don't already have tickets?
Absolutely. You call 801-355-ARTS. That's 801-355-ARTS, and that is ArtTix. And it's SB Dance's Of Meat and Marrow.
Of Meat and Marrow. And the dates that it's playing?
It is playing October 25th, which is Friday, Saturday, October 26th, and Sunday, October 27th at 4 p.m. with our Afterlife After Party following the performance on Friday and Saturday.
And how much do tickets cost?
Tickets range from $20 to $27.50. The after party is a separate ticket, and that comes with beverages, and that's between $10 and $12.50.
Sometimes I like to have these experiences that are sort of out of the norm for Salt Lake City. I know the end of Design Week last weekend, there was a fashion show underneath an overpass that our friend
Gary
Vlasic did. And this sounds to me kind of like that. It's a little bit out there, a little bit avant-garde, a little bit more interesting than maybe what people might expect to find in Salt Lake City.
You know, what's amazing is we have so many interesting and terrific performing arts groups here. We really do. I think SB Dance offers its own little alternative, and we call this Alternative Halloween. It really is. It's an adult alternative that is made for the sensibility of adults. It's alternative in the mishmash that it is. It's alternative in sort of the style of show, that it's this half rock show, half performance. And alternative in the sense that, like, you hang around and party with us later.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's a pretty cool thing to be able to offer this. That's kind of the niche that SB Dance fills in this town, is to be that alternative.
So Liberty and Annie, you guys have been dancers with SB for a while. This isn't your first performance, or is this your first time dancing?
This is my first.
First time, Annie, dancing with Stephen Brown Dance Company. And has it been a good experience?
It's been a good experience.
You kind of have to say that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does this
it's
dance...
Pause.
A long, pregnant pause. How does SB Dance differ from maybe some other dance companies that you've worked with in the past?
Well, it's very innovative. It's not to be expected. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting for a dancer, for a performer.
You get to do something a little different than what you might normally do.
Right.
Liberty, you're a pro. You're a veteran of the SB dance experience.
It's been a minute. What is it, Stephen? 13?
Wow.
13 years.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, if you're talking to your friends as dancers, telling them about coming to the show this weekend, what would you say? What would you? How would you describe it, dance?
I just show them a lot of pictures. Just be like, this is what you want to see. You know, because I think the visuality of it speaks volumes.
Okay.
And then, of course, the fact that there is a live rock and roll band on stage and that Annie is kicking butt on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. When we come back after these messages, we're going to be talking about the role of art organizations like SB Dance in the culture of our community and what makes a great downtown, what makes a great capital city. We'll be back with that after these messages. We are back. Thank you for listening in. This is Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, Liberty Valentine and Annie Kent, two dancers of Meat and Marrow, an SB Dance performance that's happening on the 25th, 26th, and 27th of October at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center. Stephen Brown, the founder of SB Dance and choreographer of Meat and Marrow, is here along with Jeffrey Burke, a dear friend who also has a role in of Meat and Marrow, a speaking role, and some dance apparently since he has an injured ankle. So there will be some good performances all around. Jeffrey, I wanted to take just a moment and ask you a little bit about the role that art plays in the broader context of what makes a great city. And
No,
I've heard you talk about this before, so I know you can answer this. This isn't a hard question. You can talk about that. What role does art play, and why should people care about having a thriving artistic scene as represented by SB Dance and this particular show this weekend?
I think in a city like Salt Lake City, one of the functions that the artistic experience plays is to expand our imaginations as a group of people living together, and our imagination of what's possible, our imagination for how to relate to each other, our imagination about what kind of world we want to create for people who come after us, whether they're our children or others' children. And I believe that human creativity is the basic wellspring from – everything comes from that. Everything comes from creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens that's not an idea first. Nothing happens that's not imagined first. And one of the things that great artistic experiences do is foster that creativity in everybody, not just the artist, because everybody is creative.
Mm-hmm.
And these artistic experiences that we want to present and support as a community, as a city – are the things that are going to make those experiences even stronger and more valuable for others.
So Stephen, can you respond to that as an artist? I mean, do you see that as your role, as helping to engender or promote creativity among your audience? Is there something that you want people to walk out of the theater after seeing of Meat and Marrow this weekend going, oh, yeah, I want to do this, or I've thought about something in a different way?
You know, that's a pretty huge thing to take on in and of itself. So, I mean, as an artist, what I try to do is, you know, I have a message, an idea, a cool take on something. And I try to express that as clearly as I can. And different artists feel differently about this kind of stuff. But I do want my audience to walk away with something, to walk away with the message. But as one of my board members, Brent Godfrey, says, you know, you're always going to squirm in an SB Dance show, in the sense that that's the kind of world I live in, too. Mm-hmm. We live in a complex world that it's not clearly
a squirmy world, if you will.
Yeah, and especially at Halloween, we feel super squirmy. But I have always viewed the job of an artist as being kind of the trickster. Mm-hmm. Of being the one who says, oh, you think things are that way? Well, guess what? I'm going to put that guy in a dress and hang him upside down, and then we're going to cover him in syrup.
Was that Jeffrey's role in this production?
Yeah, he's not upside down.
Okay, other than that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just mention as well that you all have other roles as well. Liberty runs a lovely, lovely cafe with great vegetarian food and other foods in the base of the city and county building. Jeffrey has been working closely on the Utah Performing Arts Center, and I'm excited about what that will bring to the downtown area as well, moving forward, because I think that we're creating this cultural core, this density of artistic and cultural experiences with the Rose Wagner, with the Capitol Theater, with the Bravenel. And maybe we could talk just a little bit about how downtown is evolving to really be a cultural destination and a place that people look to from across the region as a place to come to have these kinds of experiences that Stephen described that maybe make you leave thinking a little differently than you thought when you arrived at the performance. Jeffrey, could you talk a little bit about how you see the downtown evolving in that regard?
I am involved in the development of the new Performing Arts Center, and in that role and in that process, we've been looking at other cities. We've been looking at other arts facilities or venues. And one of the things that it's really easy to observe is that Salt Lake City has what now feels like – and downtown Salt Lake City has what feels like a critical mass of all the very most favorable and desirable amenities in terms of outdoor activity, in terms of educational opportunities, and in terms of artistic and creative experiences. I try to stay away from the word culture lately because it makes me think of either something I have to write a check for, or it makes me think of buttermilk. I guess.
You're lactose intolerant.
Yogurt. Yeah, I don't want to talk about culture. It's grossing me out.
I understand. Yeah.
But the new Performing Arts Center is a new amenity in downtown Salt Lake City that is intended by those who are developing it, the city staff as well as the developers, and there are a lot of stakeholders and people involved. Everybody intends that this project will be a catalyst for audience development, not just at that venue but at every venue, and for other artistic content creators, for independent artists. That this is about audience development. It's about having more people engaged in artistic and creative experiences more often. It's a catalyst for artistic leadership. It's a catalyst for community and engagement. And I think it's going to be a great addition to downtown. Right now projected to open in the spring of 2016.
So coming up. I would say, too, from my perspective, somebody who cares a lot about downtown, thinks about downtown, promotes downtown, that one of the great things about a downtown is you've got all these different people all coming together with different perspectives, different ideas, and that's really what pushes humanity forward is that one person is never going to have all the great ideas, but it's that collection that really requires creativity, and it only comes from mixing up different ideas, exposure to different ideas, exposure to different people, and you can't get that often in a suburban environment. You can't get that in an office park. You can't get that always in a rural community, but it really takes this concentration of people. I think Shakespeare said, what is a city but the people? And regardless of the facilities that we may have or the buildings we may have, what we really have in downtown is this concentration of interesting, creative, thoughtful people coming together, and really that's what pushes humanity forward. That's my feeling about it, one reason that I'm so excited, not just about Of Meat and Marrow this weekend, but about the arts in general. Stephen, what do you want to say about that?
Well, downtown becomes this sort of big borderland where there's all these overlapping groups, and we always see that in our audience. I mean, you all have been to a few post-performance receptions and looked around in there. And we just have such – I mean, I think particularly SB Dance, because we're kind of out on the edge a little bit. But, God, we have young people. We have old people. We have people from all sorts of socioeconomic backgrounds. And that's what's cool about downtown, I think, is that it's this big old melting pot of not just, black and white, mm-hmm. but also of perspectives and jobs – and it's where everything gets all mixed up. And in particular, that's what happens at cultural events. Mm-hmm. You know,
it sort of intensifies that. We spend a lot of time saying, you know, downtown really belongs to everyone, and I don't care if you're from Harriman or the Avenues or Logan or St. George. This is your capital city. This is your downtown. And you have experiences like of meat and marrow in our downtown area that you can't have in any other place across the state. And that's a really important role for downtown to play, to provide that kind of context for bringing people together to have unusual, different experiences that really help to shape their perspectives moving forward.
And, you know, one of the roles I've always looked at for SB Dance is that, in particularly with my group, I'm not trying to recreate New York City
right. In
Salt Lake City. I could care less. I have this group of amazing people, all of whom, or most of whom, have had, you know, these huge, glorious performing arts careers earlier. But you know what? They just don't want those anymore. So they're university professors. They're business owners. Annie owns The Parlor, which is a new space downtown.
Oh, nice.
Libby's at Washington Square Cafe. Jeffrey's working for the city right now. I mean, Juan Carlos is a professor at the U. But there's still a place for all of us to get together, and there's just a certain relevancy, you know, for these homegrown kind of, you know, creations that we make. And that's always what I wanted to do. You know, and that's why I started SB Dance to begin with.
And that's what you're doing. You're succeeding. I think you're doing a great job. I want to remind people again of Meat and Marrow is playing this weekend, the 25th, 26th, and 27th, a matinee on Sunday the 27th. It includes a 75-minute rock opera dance circus. Fire. I don't know if there's fire, but it's going to be an inferno of talent and excitement.
Oh.
People should definitely go. You can buy your tickets at ArtTix. That is 355 ARTS. I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to seeing many of you. And I want to just say thanks to all four of you so much for what you're doing for downtown, for the contributions that you're making to our urban center. It is a growing and exciting place, and it would not be the place that it is without fantastic artists like the four of you. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jason.
And this has been another edition of Downtown SLC. Join us each Thursday at 10 o'clock, where we talk about the people, the places, and the events that are helping to shape Utah's urban center.